Patrick, we
Yeah.
are on episode, what, 2 of season 3 at this point, and
Yeah.
the subject matter is poise. That's what we're going to talk about. But truth be told, it's not exactly poise is hard to come by when there is so much that is raiding your attention. And I'm using the term
Yeah.
raiding on purpose.
Yeah.
I will speak a little bit, and we don't normally go down this path, but I think it's important to go down this path. And when we have these conversations, on whether it's just a productive conversation or the series, we live in time, and our ability to have poise within time is both an internal element, but also is fashioned by external forces. Again, I'm using the term forces alongside, like, there's a reason. We are recording this on January 23rd. And if you're willing to look back and Google what happened on January 23rd, where Patrick lives, which is in St. Paul, Minnesota, you'll probably have a sense of why poise is not necessarily going to be easy to come by. And while we may not be able to fully concentrate our conversation on poise, I think that having a conversation about what is going on that can hijack, kidnap your attention. And I'm not trying to be glib here because it's not just and I can't speak to your experience where you are right now, but
I
as
can.
I know you can, and I'm going to let you. But I want to first kind of go into, as somebody who's living in Canada and as a Canadian, these things are not too far. There are things that are vying for our attention that should have no business vying for my attention right now. Like
Yeah.
I
By
cannot.
the way,
Yep.
the next time you see your PM, thank him for us.
Yeah, I mean, there's an example of poise. There is an example of poise in a situation that you would think bluster is what's happening. And also, frankly, I'm pissed off at so many Canadians that are saying, well, talk is cheap. I'm like, shut up. Patience and poise go hand in hand too. See, now I'm getting a little bit riled up. But the point is that the time we're living in right now is nothing I could possibly fathom that we would live in, and yet here we are, and things are happening that were so beyond the pale for me to even consider. And again, as a Canadian sitting here going, we're hearing all of this, like, Canada doesn't matter. We Canada lives because of, from what the president of the United States said, because we let it, which is, just garbage. It's hard to have a level of poise. So to Prime Minister Mark
Well,
Carney to have that, I mean, he understands the assignment, right? And
yeah, so
so do, and now to move on to you, where you are right now, there are people in Minneapolis and St. Paul that clearly understand the assignment as well.
yeah. Well, and I don't know, can poise exist without patience? I think they have to go hand in hand. I
No,
think
they
they have
can't.
to be that they're interlinked, right? But we can discuss that in a second. Yeah, here's what I need people to understand as I record this. As I record this, there are kids, teenagers on their way home from school who never get home. They're walking along, walking home, and two SUVs, three SUVs pull up. Grown ass men jump out of their cars, guns drawn, masks on, looking like they're in the Battle of Fallujah, tackle the kid, pepper spray them, throw them into an SUV, and disappear. Their parents don't know why they don't come home. They're calling frantically, no avail. Their friends didn't see what happened because they left school and they were walking home. Don't know what the... Yeah. This happened yesterday.
Yeah.
This happened yesterday, a half a mile from me. And this is happening every single day, several times a day. And that's just the kids. They are arresting and disappearing without cause, without warrant, without any reason whatsoever. Dozens, hundreds of people every single day. All around me. In my neighborhood. And it happens so fast that there's, you know, for every one that you see where there's some recording on Facebook or wherever you decide to get your news these days, for every one of those recordings, that was just folks that got lucky, who happened to notice what was going on and stopped to take out their cameras and start blowing their whistles and honking their horns to get other people to stop and get out and record what's going on. So at the very least, this poor mother who is waiting for her child to get home can see their child maybe for the last time. This is America that this is happening in. I want people to know that. I don't even know how to get the rest of the country, let alone the rest of the world, to really grapple with that, because you can't. Because it seems inconceivable that that could be happening here. I myself, as Mike knows, and actually witnessed one of these abductions myself. Young 24-year-old man who was on his way to work to open up the pizza place where he had a job and start working for the day. Came here legally. Came here the right way. He's not someone who illegally crossed the border. Blah, blah, blah. No. He came in and, you know, presented his request for, you know, asylum, and was working through that process, and all of it legal, all of it doing the right way, showing up for his appointments, the whole nine yards. He was driving into work. And he entered the parking lot, and this is what I saw. He was driving into the parking lot. Two ICE agents chasing behind him. They box in his car. They jump out, guns drawn. They unnecessarily break out his driver's side window. Yank him out of the car. Throw him up against the side of it. Pound his head into the roof of the car while they're cuffing him. Throw him into the back of an SUV, one of their SUVs. One of the agents bothers because they stopped him in the middle of the kind of road of the parking area to get in his car and move it into a parking space. Got out of it, took a photo of the license plate, took a photo of the broken window, and took a photo of me filming. Got back into his SUV, and they drove away. In the car was all of his documentation, including his passport. The keys just left right there in the car. They don't care who he is. They don't care what his name is. They don't. They like that's not of interest to them. No one has seen him since. Luckily, because they left all of his documentation in the car, after about a half hour of calling the, you know, immigration rights folks and getting the video to them and all of this stuff, we figure out, like, because no one knew who he was, we figured out, oh, he works over here at the pizza place. Okay, well, let's get in touch with the manager of the pizza place. Manager of the pizza place is like, yeah, he was opening up and, you know, da-da-da. And he has a five-month pregnant wife at home. She has not heard from him. None of his family have heard from him. Nobody knows where he is. And even the few, you know, databases of folks that have been detained and such that exist and are able to somewhat track some of these people and where they go, there is nothing about him. So, yeah, this is America in 2026 in Minneapolis and St. Paul and in Minnesota in general. This is happening in Winona, where Brett Terpstra lives. Yeah.
It's not just
this is happening in Duluth. It's happening in St. Cloud. It's happening in Bemidji. It's all over. It is all over.
And it's not just in Minnesota, although the concentration, it's happening in a bunch of different places right now.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It's happening in lots of different places.
But you're there. But you've seen it. Like, this is... This
right.
Is,
and the concentration is
yes.
Here. Yeah, right? You know, the ICE agents currently in the metro area outnumber our local law enforcement 4-1. Just to give you an idea of the scale of this. So I want people to understand that. And to understand this. In the face of that, ordinary people who really would do a lot of other things besides stand around in the cold, as part of a line watch line around a school, because we literally have to have parents and neighbors from the surrounding area like guard our schools. And you have ICE actually infiltrating some of those groups. You have ICE showing up as if they're a neighbor and they're there to help, when in fact they're there to count the number of brown kids, the number of Asian kids, the number of Somali kids, so they can report back as to, you know, what time they get out, who gets on buses, who walks. So they can snatch another one. It's come to that. It's come to, like, preschools. We have a number of Spanish immersion preschools, which, quite frankly, are mostly populated by upwardly mobile white kids. Yeah. You know, you know, whose parents want them to start learning a second language and become bilingual. The best time to do that is the younger you are, the easier it is, right?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And so sending your kid to a Spanish immersion preschool or Spanish immersion or Chinese immersion preschool or whatever, that's a thing. In any case, I digress. But, you know, it also is a thing that, like, Chinese families who want their kids to be able to speak Chinese and not to basically default to English, you know, they have no problem. You know, plus there's a Chinese immersion elementary school, a French immersion elementary school. You get what I'm saying? Where so if you want your kid to continue to maintain their fluency in that second language, they can. I'm digressing. The deal is that in the midst of all of this, you have people who are out there doing the work, who are peacefully protesting, who are non-violent in the face of all of this violence, who are cajoled into violence by ICE, and this happens. You're sitting there, guarding your kid's school or, guarding a place of worship or whatever as, a helpful citizen. And they will literally drive past you with pepper spray spraying.
Which they're not supposed, which
out there, out their car window.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's
or they'll drive and all of a sudden, pop! There's a tear gas canister that comes from seemingly nowhere that they've thrown out of their sunroof as they're passing by, just for funsies.
So you mentioned violence, and yes, but I think if you want to go broader, it's evil.
Yeah, no, it is pure evil.
And it's no longer, so this is the thing that pisses me off. It's not, and this is what I think people need to get through their heads. It's not left versus right.
No.
It's
no,
not.
No. This is right versus wrong.
This is right versus wrong.
Yeah.
And until that is the predominant message, which is, again, that's got to break through the noise. People are going to keep thinking it's this versus it's us versus them. It's
right.
That's garbage. It's absolute garbage. Yeah.
No, it is. It is. And it really is. It really does come down to, what do you think the role of what do you think the role of your society should be?
For those that are listening that are like, I came here to listen to something else. Sorry, too bad. Next episode, if you want, that's fine. But I mean, I think
the truth of the matter is that it takes a tremendous amount of patience and poise
to
be out there, to be protesting, to be saying, no, this is wrong in the face of so much danger, in the face of so much immorality, in the face of your rights being completely ignored and stripped.
But I want to illustrate, the reason I said that wasn't so much like it should be ignored. It's more because people, you've heard this and I mean, it's in the news. And again, remember, as someone outside of the U.S., I'm getting news from, other sources, not just U.S. news. Because again, news, as you know, has been, it's not the way it used to be.
As well.
Exactly. But what I was going to get at is you're hearing people argue, but previous administrations have deported people as well. It's not the act of deportation. It's the methods and the action. Like, it wasn't happening this way. There's there's a right way and a wrong way. And nuance fits in there, believe it or not. And this is this is an example of no nuance. None. Zero.
Yeah.
The 5 year old that I read about. Like they're, and then trying to rationalize that is is, because you, to do that in post, I mean, there's got to be so much spin going on around that. It's just, and it is, when you are trying to spin and position a story or a narrative that is just becoming increasingly hard to show, say, hey, this is what it is, you lose the ability to maintain poise, because poise can't live honorably in a lie. It cannot, because unless you're evil, unless you're diabolically evil, like that's my belief. Now, I mean, someone may argue.
Yeah, well, but I believe that that's the case. I would argue too that, you know, I mean, the case of the poor 5-year-old kid. His name is Luis, by the way. I'm not sorry. Yeah, Luis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the vice president came here yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and held a big news conference showy thing, speaking rah-rah to the ICE agents, saying, no, his father was illegal, and therefore we had to take the kid because we're not going to separate the kid from his dad, this, that, and the other. I want to be very, very, very clear here. His father, his mother were not illegal. Just like the kid I saw disappeared. Lucio was his name. Mm-hmm. Lucio, sorry. They came. They presented their case for asylum. They have shown up to every court date. They have filed every bit of paperwork. They were going about things the right way. There was nothing illegal about what they did. They were following the process and the law that we have set forth and has been in place for quite some time,
mm-hmm.
to apply for citizenship in the United States. And were granted by said United States asylum here until their case was properly adjudicated and they were either A, granted citizenship, or B, said, nope, sorry, at which case they would have done what many other people do, that most other people do that face that, which is get on a plane, go back.
Yeah.
So all of this is to say that they were not illegal. Neither was that kid. And he and his father are in a detention center in Texas. And the only reason they haven't been put on a flight as fast as possible out of this country is because that would be all over the news.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to avoid that. And they're trying to, as you say, spin it. But here's the thing about spin. You don't have to spin the facts.
No.
The facts are what they are, right? And the facts are that his parents were not illegal. The facts are that ICE doesn't care about whether they're legal or not.
Yep.
The facts are that Trump, Vance, none of them care about whether they are legal or not. In their mind, they're illegal simply because they are not from here. And even that they're trying to get away from. They very much would like to say, yes, anyone who was born here but their parents were not from here are also illegal.
Yeah.
They've said as much.
Yep.
That's what they believe.
So you actually get to a good point, because I'm going to go back to Carney's speech. And one of the things that I pulled from that was the idea of performative belief. Performative belief came from that. And I'm like, this concept of if I'm, and this goes to the whole doing productive versus being productive. I can actually bring this back to my own work. But, you know, this idea of if you do something long enough, if the things are the way they are long enough, even if things start to fall apart, the performance can essentially replace the truth, even though the truth is.
Oh, yeah.
So things like, again, what you're talking about.
Fake it
about,
until you make it. Right. Is the general idea, right?
But now you've made it, and then you still are faking it, right? You know what I mean? Like, happening. What, you know, what I really liked about what was said, and let me be clear about our prime minister. He would not have given that speech if he did not know how that speech would be taken. He would not have given it. He's smart. Mm-hmm. He's very smart. And he wrote it himself, which, you know, goes to say a whole bunch of things. I mean, I guess you could say that Trump probably writes his own as well.
No, he doesn't have a speechwriter. That should be obvious.
And writing.
And even if he did, he wouldn't follow whatever was written. And that also has been documented.
But you know how, but the thing about performative belief versus truth, if there's this book that I picked up a number of years ago in one of our little free libraries calling The Ongoing History of Cults. Performative belief is one of the hallmarks of cult-like behavior. Now, that's not to say, now when Prime Minister Carney brought this up in that talk, there are elements of any group can demonstrate some level of, you know, tribalism, if you want to call it that, or even some things that may appear to be cult-like, which is why you get this whole the right versus the left thing, right? Because, you know, the further extreme you go out, you could see that. But this is different. Like, this is and if you were to, this is where, again, patience and poise can come into play.
I believe that we need to assume, based on all that I am seeing on a daily basis around here, that there are, that we have a situation where we have certain forces, controlling forces within our government, our federal government, that do not follow or believe in the law.
Because it doesn't
work.
They
do not follow or believe in the Constitution. And I forget exactly what the quote is. You can help me find it. I don't want it clickety clack on my keyboard while we're talking, and plus we do have a limited amount of time because I have a protest to get to. I'm not joking.
No, it's happening in an hour, a little less than an hour.
Well, actually, the one in our neighborhood has already started.
Okay.
But it's you know, there are the rules of an authoritarian nation or like, you know, I forget what it, but basically there are laws to which you know, it's applies versus binds. You know the one I'm talking about. That, you know, applies but does not bind, bind us but does not apply.
It is
something like that.
Go ahead.
And you can just edit this out.
No, you know what? Number one, we're not editing any of this stuff out. And also, there's no ads in this episode. I have to decide ultimately. Poise, it was the title. It's going to change. I mean, but poise is, I mean, because this is a crux in time. It's as,
it's Will Hoyt's law. Conservatism consists of exactly one proposition, to wit, there must be in groups whom the law protects but does not bind, alongside outgroups whom the law binds but does not protect. It is known as Wilhoit's law. And that is exactly what we are seeing playing out here. To the forces within our government, the law protects them, but it does not bind them.
Right.
And because it does not bind them, they flagrantly disregard it and break it and rest in the comfort that as long as they are in power, nothing will come of it, i.e. they will not be held responsible for their lawlessness and for their ignoring the Constitution, ignoring the law, ignoring all of this stuff. And they do it all the time. Even you know, things that the Supreme Court has said, no, you cannot do this. They can just, okay, well, we're just going to do it anyway.
And they're doing it externally, outside of America, too.
Outside of America, too, right.
Yes. They're like, yes. the laws don't apply to us.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. There's outgroups whom the law binds but does not protect, right? Yeah. And so, you know, if a protester is out there selling, you know, yelling at an ICE officer, well, that's verbal abuse, and that's we can crack your head open and drag you down and arrest you for that. Wait, what about the First Amendment? Well, that doesn't apply to, like, you can't just say these things. That's literally what the First Amendment is. You know, you get what I'm saying, right?
I totally get
what you're saying. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Have you seen Requiem for an American Dream? A friend of mine said I should watch it. It's Noam Chomsky, which is kind of hilarious in some ways because, of course, if he was shown as being with Epstein at one point. So, and again, Chomsky's not a right-leaning person. So again, I watch on Amazon Prime and I watched it, and what you just talked about, Wilhoit's law, he goes into that a little bit. He talks about, I think Adam Smith comes into it. There's a few others. It is the idea of the premise of it is, you want democracy, but not too much, right? Like that's the premise. Mm-hmm. And by virtue of that, which is interesting because they don't want nuance, but there is nuance built into all of this, right? You know, you and I've had this discussion before about the right to bear arms in the absence of an organized militia. Okay, so then you don't have the right to bear arms. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, but we do. You know, like, so look where the comma is. I'm like, okay, well, great. Mm-hmm. Like, nuance there. Why does nuance apply there, but not in the situations you're talking about right now?
Right,
for
exactly,
the very reason that you're talking about.
Yeah.
It doesn't serve.
Yeah.
And so as we wrap up, because I know you've got things to go. And also, I mean, while we don't want to add to the noise, I think it's important when someone doesn't talk about this stuff to this degree or they don't go down this path, sometimes a little bit of – like sometimes to make a point of going there – I think is valuable because like, this person's talking about this. Oh, this person's talking about this. And I'm not talking about celebrities and stuff because, I mean, there's a distance between the average person and, say, a celebrity. But there's not a distance between you and the person that you're going to be standing next to in a few hours, in a short time from now.
A few minutes. Right? Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So. You know, I think that that's a really important thing to understand because I don't think it's adding to the noise. I think it's adding to the voices and the voices of the voiceless, so to speak. There's a wrestler that says that, CM Punk or what have you. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's just, it is, you can't stand idly by. And, when you do, and again, part of the war on attention is to make that happen. I can't. I got to step back. It's too much. Take care of yourself when this is going on. You too, Patrick, obviously.
Yeah.
But don't withdraw. don't, you know, it's oscillating, you know, that's it, you have to almost right. oscillate between these things because
yeah.
there's one of you, I mean, you, that's what you can do. That's how, and you know, I mean, I've written letters to my MPs and all that stuff about mm-hmm. Canadian mm-hmm. companies supplying ICE with equipment. Mm-hmm. And honestly, part mm-hmm. of the way I've been able to do that is go, hey, help me write this letter, AI, because I can't do it in a mm-hmm. without being mm-hmm. emotionally charged. And then I go in and fix
yeah.
it. So
yeah.
this is a very important. Yeah. Like I said, we don't talk about this stuff much.
Those who know important. Me know I rarely use AI, if at all. But mm-hmm. I did use it yesterday just to get a sense of how a college financial aid appeal letter for merit aid should be formatted. All of this is to say that life goes on even amidst all of this, right? Even amidst everything that's going on and how distracted we all are. You know, the truth of that matter is that, you know, what people need to know is right now, January 23rd, there's a general strike happening in Minnesota. I think this is, as far as I'm aware, the first time a general strike this mass has happened in the United States in a very, very long time.
Yep.
You know, and a general strike, not just like garment workers or you know, restaurant workers, like, yeah, not just unions. This is most schools are closed.
Mm-hmm.
Most businesses are closed. That those that aren't, oh, no shopping.
Right.
No, like, the purpose is to say, yes, people have the power and we can shut this place down. Mm-hmm. And we can, that, you know, your businesses, your schools, your, like, everything about this society exists because we are willing to let it.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes our government. And so, all, right. So, yes, I'm breaking the general strike even by being on this podcast, to be honest with you. But that's okay. My daughter
had to. I'm going to withhold your paycheck for this one, Patrick.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go. that's fine.
And actually, I hear that they're actually paying people. No, but I actually do hear that some of the businesses that have closed are saying we're going to pay you anyway. Like,
oh, no, they're still paying their employees.
Which is a way of showing that there's mm-hmm. support. So, to be clear.
Yeah, exactly. Right. All of that is to say that even my daughter, because there was no school today and they have a theater competition tomorrow for their play, that they are getting together over Zoom in order to rehearse and to run lines and to make sure that they are ready for the competition tomorrow. All of this is to just illustrate that, like, our lives have to go on.
Yep.
Even in the midst of all of this, we still need to go to the grocery store. We still need to make dinner. We still need to make time for friends and for family. And we still have obligations to our employers. And, like, all of these things still have to happen in the midst of all of this. And I think it does take a certain amount of poise, right? To, in the face of, you know, the world, you know, I'm reminded of that that cartoon that has turned into a meme with the little dog with the house is burning down. Everything is fine. Yeah. Well, guess what? That's kind of how everyone I know is having to operate right now. Not so much everything is fine. We know it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still things that have to get done, and we are working around what's going on. And even those actively involved in tracking ICE and on the various alert groups, there's rapid response groups that have popped up for all the neighborhoods around on Signal, where it's like, you know, I spotted this location. We need this many people to show up with their iPhones and their whistles, you know? And there are people like, who have their signal alert go off and they're like, oh shit, I can be there in 30 seconds and throw on their coats and run out the door and go down and with the phone and they, do the thing. They get back in their car and they go back home and they hop on their next Zoom meeting.
And remember, right now, at this time of year in Minnesota, it ain't warm.
Oh no, so no! It's actually, and we actually have an Arctic blast, thanks to you Canadians, right now, coming through. Really, it's helpful. We need these Texas ice guys to really know what Minnesota can be like in January, and we haven't had one this good in a while. And by good, I mean. Trees we started the good. Day at 22 below. With a 45 below wind chill.
Fahrenheit, everybody. Fahrenheit. That's 22 Fahrenheit, below yes, Fahrenheit yes. for those that aren't.
Yes, exactly. Yes, 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 yes. And yet, I know just a half a block, not even half a block. There's or a half a block. It's like a block and a half, sorry. From here, there are people outside in their cold weather gear with their ice out signs, and they're out there protesting, and probably some of them will march down to the state capitol, and it's a whole thing, and people are still out because this matters, and we're not going to let the cold get in the way of
stopping
speaking
ice.
Out yes stopping ice yeah so with that
Patrick,
we should wrap up.
Thanks again. We'll be back next month with another episode. We'll put all the stuff that we need in the show notes, but this has been I'm glad we had this conversation today. And I hope that those that are listening, you've taken something from it, because it's poise is important, especially in the face of what's going on, but you have to do something with what's going on right now. You can't just
and quite frankly, by the time you actually release this episode, I hope everything that we've just talked about is recent history.
Thanks for joining me, Patrick.
Thank you.